hopefully quite practical. Let us just start. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. 1 minute. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hai Bo,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
One moment.
Prabhu Parajaya, Prabhu Parajaya, Prabhu Parajila, Prabhu Parajaya. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravarajakacharya Astata Satasi Simatis Divine Grace Sila Abhi Charanaravinda Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaja O Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Vishnu Vidaya Nastaya Bhutaya Vismadavati Anta Swami Tiyami. I had to laugh when all of you disappeared behind the chairs. Oops. It really looked as if you were... It looked really unusual. Hare Krishna. One moment. The title of today's Krishna. So the title of today's seminar is From Lust to Love, and we will start again with our spiritual hero Dhruva Maharaj. As you all know, Dhruva Maharaj went into the forest with the motive to get a kingdom from Lord Krishna, which was more powerful and even greater in expense, I mean more land, than the kingdom of Lord Brahma, that is the whole universe. He received a process from his spiritual master which would help to purify him so that he would have the darshan of the Lord. And he took to this with great determination. He had a goal and he wanted to reach it. It is described that he went to Maruvan, one of the forests of Vrindavan. We are very happy to have today a bona fide Rajavasi, our Leela Daraji, who also gives seminars, and he will take great happiness in hearing this particular part of Dhruva Maharaj's development. Dhruva Maharaj bathed 3 times a day in the sacred river Yamuna in order to purify himself externally. He fasted and began to worship Sri Hari in this little deity which he built with controlled senses. Please listen how he controlled the senses. I think you will very clearly understand it's even not possible in our mind to follow Dhruva Maharaj's determination. During the first month, he ate every 3 days once a small amount of fruits, otherwise he would fast. During the second month, he stopped his eating entirely of fruits, and every 6 day he ate a few dry leaves which he collected from the ground. Apparently there are leaves which are fit for human consumption. Our Ayurvedic Kaviraj nods in agreement. So he would take these dry leaves, not even wet leaves, which would go very nicely in the mouth, and eat them and take his nourishment every 6 days. And the third month, he stopped eating altogether. And every ninth day, he would drink a little water while continuing his meditation on the Lord. In the fourth month, he stopped drinking altogether, and once every 12 days, he breathed. Once every 12 days, Prabhus and Prabhis, this is really a very difficult to follow example. In the fifth day, he had conquered all his prana, and he stood like a stick without moving. At that time, he entered into deep samadhi. And then in the sixth month, he was searching in his heart and he found the Supreme Lord in his heart. Now, he had stopped all the breathing. He had conquered the prana, and this caused the whole universe to be unable to breathe properly. The whole universe began to choke. "We can't breathe properly," said the demigods, and went to Lord Hari. "Please save us." Lord Hari said, "I know why you can't breathe. It is because of the very powerful austerities of the little boy who is so determined that he has accessed the universal breathing and stopped it together with his breathing. I shall stop this boy by appearing before him." Now, meanwhile, Dhruva Maharaj was meditating, and as he meditated and bathed his internal vision in the form of the Lord, there was all of a sudden something like a flash in his heart, and the form disappeared. totally perturbed. He opened his eyes, and lo and behold, with his spiritual eyes, he could actually perceive the presence of the Lord standing right before him. He was so overwhelmed that he immediately threw himself down to offer his obeisances. Then he got up and his eyes drank the form of the Lord. With his ears he heard the breeze moving the dhoti of the Lord and was amazed. With his sense of smelling, he smelled the extremely attractive fragrance which emanated from the beautiful limbs of the Lord. He wanted to say something, express prayers, but because he was so entirely overwhelmed, he could not say one word. He was standing like this, trying to do devotional service, praise the Lord, but he couldn't. The Lord, however, understood his situation. He took his Panchajanya conchal and mercifully touched him on his head. Sometimes it is said on the throat. And immediately, Dhruva Maharaj prayed. In his prayers, was praying like a self-realized soul, saying, "My Lord, you are everywhere, inside and outside, but I only can understand it now. My Lord, please give me the association of your devotees, who, in whose association I will hear Harikatha, to educate myself further upon you." Then the Lord talked to him. Whenever Krishna talks, it's very concise. He said, "I know what you wish." He immediately addressed him. "And I will grant you your own planet, which is Dhruva Loka, a spiritual planet on which I am also residing. Listen, Dhruva, for 36,000 years you will rule the earth, and you will not become bewildered. Then you will go to my kingdom, which will be known also as Dhruva Loka, wherefrom no one returns. But no, first you will have to stay in the kingdom of this earth. Your father Uttanapad will make you the throne heir, and your brother Uttama and your stepmother Surichi, they will both die. Uttama will be killed while in the forest, and Surichi will be so bereaved that she will walk into the forest and die in a forest fire. Now go back." And the form disappeared. And Dhruva Maharaj saw that the Lord had disappeared and had requested him to go into the kingdom to become a ruler. He was deeply, deeply sad. He lamented, "My Lord, you came to me, and I did not express a desire to render direct devotional service. I only wanted my selfish ego to be satisfied. My Lord, this is so bad. I have not desired devotional service for you." And he felt very, very sad, although he was ecstatic. Then he returned, and Dhruva Maharaj's return will be discussed in the next day. Here we will just talk about Dhruva's way, and we will move a little bit to the subject matter of today's verse, the transformation of the heart, today's subject, or from lust to love. We all start with in our devotional career in a selfish way. We want, usually, Lord Krishna says, the relief from material problems. When I ask, for instance, devotees, why did you join? They say, the material world was very miserable, Maharaj. Not much Krishna is there, only my own suffering or enjoyment. But by the process of devotional service, we hope to transfer our attachment from this material body to Krishna. This is very, very important, that in our devotional lives we will become more and more attached to Lord Krishna and not allow our attachments to bring us back into the material world from where we came. I will now want to show you a little video which I don't know how it will go. It's a video about an important transformation in the wrong way. Once there was a doctor, the video says, the famous doctor Jekyll, who thought, if only I could take the bad part of the human being, isolate them totally, then I could become a better human. Human beings could become very good. I will do this one day. And he made experiments, which we will see on the video. I want to show you this because I want to show you how it is so important to do the spiritual transformation, because otherwise a material transformation will take place. Most of us, all of us actually, except for our Brijbasi amongst us, have experienced coming from the spiritual world into the material world. Our Brijbasi has landed right in the spiritual world in Vrindavan. But all of us, that is 99% of this audience, have experienced how in contact with the material energy, we have transformed from our original nature as a Krishna Das into a Maya Das. And this transformation is real. We have transformed from love to lust. We have all become, like you will see in a moment, Dr. Jekyll, who has become Mr. Hyde. And you please look this, so to ask to become inspired for this class, because here in this class today we will discuss the re-transformation of our consciousness. We will discuss how we can make this go back in this. I need a microphone, Radha Raman, so that I can hold it.
Fellow of the Royal Society, I'm about to record for posterity, and in the interests of science, the day-by-day details of the bold experiments which I am currently undertaking. I have long been absorbed with the duality of man, good and the evil, housed in a single body, with myself as good an example as any. If the twin sides of my nature could be separated, then the unjust could go its own way without disgracing its more upright twin, and I could be left to do the good works to which I have dedicated my life. And I believe that I am on the brink of decocting an amalgam based on opium derivatives and the alkaloid from South American mezcal, made soluble in ether, which, when mixed in the right proportions, will both prove my thesis and bring peace of mind to myself and to all mankind.
This is a scene which he sees. A murderer.
I'm sorry about that.
About what exactly?
He is a reprieved murderer.
Oh, dear God, have mercy, I should say.
He's a murderer.
A free man, I presume. Good heavens, no, Mr. Lanyon. Broadmoor, for life.
Now, Mrs. Coggeshall, I would like to show you the needle point that some of our prisoners are occupying their spare time.
Dr. Jekyll sees this, and he thinks about it.
Right. Well, basically a good man, you see. If only the evil in him could be isolated.
Oh, no. Hasty, what do you think?
I think Henry's taking advantage of the occasion to thrust his scientific boulder ash down our throats.
My dear Hasty, we all know that you're a very brilliant surgeon. But your speciality is the area between your knife and your patient's flesh, not in extending the bounds of scientific knowledge.
Well, he was the same at university, do you remember, Oliver? He always had a bee in his bonnet, hoping he would sting everybody else.
Yes, but do you not see the tremendous release that could be achieved if the good and the evil could be separated?
How do you propose to achieve that, eh? Surely we can all recognize the difference between good and evil, eh?
Well, not Henry. He refuses to believe that man is a hodgepodge of both, and woman too, with all due respect to Mrs. Coggeshall.
I fail to see why you are so flippant about the enormous amount of research I've put into this over the years.
Oh, come, Henry, don't be so pompous.
Oh, it's pompous, is it, Hasty?
Yes, you are pompous.
Hasty, Henry, come on now, easy.
Well, when my research is completed, Hasty, I promise you that you will be the first to pass judgment.
Thank you.
So he always takes this medicine and separates his lower self, which becomes Mr. Hyde, from him. Now one morning he wakes up. He has not taken any medicine. That was his maidservant. He's no longer Dr. Jekyll, but Mr. Hyde.
Last night, I went to bed as Henry Jekyll, and this morning I awoke as Edward Hyde. No draught was taken, no explanation, except is the balance of my nature overthrown. Am I losing hold of my better self?
Has shown heels to my politeness.
Yes, I do.
The question is the balance of my nature overthrown? Do I lose my better self?
Beneath the napkin. You're far from well, sir. Far from well.
Mr. Lanyon. I give you a choice.
Between what and what?
Well, either I can leave your house, in which case you will be left as before, neither richer nor wiser.
This is Mr. Hyde now. He asked if he can give him convince him that some transformation is possible. He doesn't know that this is Dr. Jekyll.
Who are you?
You not know me, Hasty? My name is Edward Hyde.
Hyde, my God, the police!
They now try to get Mr. Hyde to find out what is this going on in the laboratory of Dr. Jekyll, who always closes himself in. They begin to suspect that there could be a relationship between Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Dr. Jekyll has lost his better self. The evil has taken possession of him. And now he does the last activity which he feels he can do.
Too late. Until I passed.
Hyde!
me, Paul.
Before he killed himself, he had spoken this message.
To the one crossed. I have learned that the burdens of one's life lie on one's own shoulders and upon no one else's. The man is master of his fate and captain of his soul.
I do not wish to die upon the gallows, so I shall find my own escape. And so I humbly ask for God's forgiveness and for the forgiveness of all of those whom I have so cruelly wronged.
You didn't understand. Good. I will explain it because it's really very important. I couldn't. The cutting is not so. Was not so easy. So I will explain it a little bit because I think it is an analogy of our own struggles. Dr. Jekyll wanted to separate the evil portions of his character by giving in to his bad nature. As Mr. Hyde, he really lived out his evil character. He had a lot of affairs. He even murdered one good person. In the end, Mr. Hyde was searched by the police for his crimes. So this is the time when he goes to his friend Dr. Larsen to show him that his experiment works. He goes back from Hyde to Jekyll. Now, but he can no longer catch his bad self. It always comes through. He wakes up as Mr. Hyde and goes with this sensual desires to steal, to rape, to do any thing which I have not shown you on the video. And finally he sees the only way out to kill himself, that is to kill Hyde, and with Hyde also Dr. Jekyll. Now now he has made a tape recorded mission. He has said in the, that I really wanted good, but the worse, the evil which I separated took hold of me, and I beg God for forgiveness and all the people which I wronged. And I can only do this now to kill myself. So this is a very on many different levels, including psychology, this is an interesting theme which has captured the human imagination, that in our persona, conditioned persona, there lurks always this Dr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde. Some of the people think we should give way to Mr. Hyde. We should sin. We should break principles of dharmic conduct. And it will be better. We will be more relieved. But once we give in to the dark sides, they will get a control over us. Better is we go back to our original pure selves, and that is a spiritual process. So this is what I wanted to just move your minds a little bit. And now I would like to say how we can come from our Mr. Hyde-like situation, I'm taking this analogy now for the fallen soul, back to our spiritual position. And there are a few points which I would like to make today. The first is, I have this microphone, but I should really make this. If you want to improve your whole existence, you should apply the strong force of sadhana. Sadhana has been described in one scripture as a sunrise which evaporates the water of worldliness, transforms water into fog which rises up. By sadhana, by strong sadhana, you will see how your worldly desire, which become dangerous when you act upon them, but also dangerous when you repress them, you will see how your worldly desires become transformed into something wonderful. For instance, if you suffer from strong sensual attractions, you may have an addiction for sensual engagements, you will see that by good sadhana, the sexual energy, which moves a lot of our lives in this world, becomes transformed into ojas. Ojas means an effulgence, which makes you look youthful, which makes you smile all the time, and so on. Celibacy alone will not do this job for you. It might even result in frustration and of desires and some psychological disorders like very strong intolerance, the desire to exert power over others, and so on. Only if you apply the sun rays of strong sadhana will you see how these drives which are in us become transformed, and it's called ojas. A man who is, and a woman who have sadhana and who have transformed their desires, have a natural effulgence, a natural childlike appearance. We could see this very much in the nature of Srila Prabhupada. Once Srila Prabhupada gave a class in New Delhi where 20,000 people were in the audience, and he turned around to one of his devotees and said, "Why do you think these people worship me?" Prabhupada had always these questions. Why? Well, you're Srila Prabhupada. No. Because I have transformed my sexual urge. This is the explanation which he gave. If you wish to transform this strong motivating power, which is very much there in each one of us, it is very much the central force of our material life, this attachment to enjoyment is very much there. Even if you have given up the gross attachment, then it comes back to you in a subtle way. You want name, fame, and glory, and reputation. It's all a desire of the strong urge which has been within us. If you want to transform it, you must surround it with three powerful practices. The first is shravana. You must hear new informations. And the second is kirtana. And then, if you are very determined, you will follow some type of tapasya. Tapasya means a restriction from worldliness. Once Ravindra Swarup Prabhu came to a Christian seminary where there were Christian people prepared for the job of a priest. And he gave a lecture and afterwards asked them, so how is it going with you? You also practice celibacy? Yes, they said, we also practice celibacy because we become Catholic priests. Then he talked some more. And finally, many of them confided to him, but what we really want is Friday night, we want to take a girl out and just walk through the street, press her to our side, nothing so heavy, but celibacy. And so on. When Ravindra Swarup saw the surroundings, he could easily understand why the urge was so much. From one morning to evening, a cinema was walking, TV. The one-eyed guru was preaching. What do you see when you look TV? The things which make entertainment entertainment. Violence. Sexuality. What? Wealth. Yes, wealth. I once talked with one German TV man and said, we are very attractive for the TV. We look so special. We can sing very nicely and we can smile. You please put us in the TV. He said, well, we had just made a performance which really won the heart of everyone. We were with Boy George on the stage and in TV, and we sang Bow Down Mr. Hare Rama Hare Krishna. So we had won the hearts of everyone. They applauded for a long time. It was in the Berlin Funkausstellung, TV fair. And I said, so now let us go into TV. But he said, it's not so easy. We could only stick you in the department of culture. But this doesn't make money and doesn't get people to look at. Culture is so boring for most of the people. We need violence and romance. To get the people pressing the on button of the TV and see TV. So you will see why were these people unable to have a joyful celibacy? Why was it a suppressed urge which gave them a lot of trouble? It was because they had not transformed it. And they had not known about, they may have heard about Shravana Kirtanam, but not tapasya. Tapasya is so important, my dear devotees. I know in modern day ISKCON we may shy away from this word, but Prabhupada has said a principle which was known in the world, that if you want to achieve something great, you must do some tapasya. Prabhupada says, if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can also do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. Indeed, nothing is possible without tapasya. The more we engage in austerity, the more we become powerful by the grace of the Lord. For instance, we in Germany talk about the spiritual revolution. We want to really come out of the dross, the passivity of the last years, and think very much. If we want to do something great, however, it will require from every one of us a little sacrifice. Because the power of sacrifice for a cause, for a good cause, can move mountains. In the Bhagavatam, we find Lord Krishna saying, O sinless Brahma, you may know from me that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. Such penance is my heart and soul, and therefore penance and I are non-different. I create this cosmos by such penance. I maintain it by the same energy, and I withdraw it all by the same energy. Therefore the potential power is penance only. My dear devotees, let us not be shy to deeply think about these subjects of penance or austerity for Krishna conscious cause. It will make the world will start moving in your direction. In fact, the universe will start moving in your direction. If you become determined and if you are ready to sacrifice for your determination. This is a godly divine power. It is Krishna, in effect, who himself comes like this. Sexuality is a driving force which becomes awakened by contemplation of the sensual world. And the fire of tapasya takes this driving force will help you to gain something great. The greatest form of tapasya, really, which you can do as a devotee, is to do austerities for the pleasure of the Lord. That is, to do austerities in your devotional service. Have you noticed that one personality alone, Srila Prabhupada, has spread the Hare Krishna movement all over the world, and it was possible by his dedication to the order of his spiritual master and by his willingness to sacrifice for this cause. By this willingness he attracted the grace of the Lord, and which empowered him to do wonderful things. When you have faith but you do not perform a little tapasya, then you will be many branched and not be very successful. So we have spoken about sadhana, and we have spoken about a certain determination of a certain sacrifice to give power to your sadhana. Now I will talk about transformation from another perspective. I will invite you to an experiment which I feel is very important. Will you permit me to do the experiment, Leela Dharaji? Good. I want to show you a very important principle for someone who wants transformation. It is, you need to know the forces in this universe. There is tamagun, which is a mode which slows us down and holds us to matter and makes us attached. There's rajagun, which makes us very active in order to achieve things. And there's sattvagun, which makes us placid and peaceful in our consciousness, so that we can easier contemplate about God and our part in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada once gave a Brahminical initiation, it was in Hawaii, where he told the devotees that they should practice together with the mantra the mode of goodness, by being clean, by living in a clean atmosphere. He said brahmanas will always tend to the mode of sattvagun and become uncomfortable. Now, when Prabhupada had given his lecture, he went out of the temple room, but he didn't go into his room. He went right to the brahmachari toilet. He opened, not the toilet, the bathroom where there were showers and also toilets. He opened the door. What did he see? Dirty copans, unwashed things which had toothpaste in the things, which was not cleansed. He even looked at the toilets. You know, there were traces of a car which had put on his brakes in the toilet, and so on. And Prabhupada came out of the bathroom in disgust. You are not brahmanas. This is the mode of tamagun. How will you cultivate Krishna consciousness from this platform? Then he spoke about hygiene. He spoke about cleanliness. He spoke about a peaceful life. And I think we owe a great debt to our Brij Basi, who Lila Dara Gupta Prabhu, who is teaching that you cannot be healthy without sattva gun. This is one of your important principles and teaching method. So when you come in contact with the modes, they will influence your consciousness. We will now make a little experiment. Please sit properly. I will play to you two types of music, and you should listen to it with great attention and your mind in the receiving position. It's not a question if you like the music or dislike the music. The question is, how do you feel when you hear this music? And where exactly does the feeling arise as you hear it? We will do two types of music. How is your consciousness influenced? Let us first now do a few very simple breathing exercises. We are all yogis by now. Sit, you are sitting properly. Exhale. And inhale, like you have learned yesterday. Let it, and continue, don't stop. You are very faithful followers. Yes, exhale, and then I said inhale, and I and then you all inhaled, and you waited, what's now? If I would not have said anything, you would have suffocated, most probably. The German influence has become very prominent. You do what you are taught. So, breathing in and out steadily. Yes? Please close your eyes again and just breathe in and out. Concentrate on your inhaling and exhaling breath. And only go through the nose, please. Now don't force your breathing so much, but go naturally. And now just listen to the first musical example. Only listen. We will again close our eyes. How do you feel now? Just don't say anything, just analyze it. And start to breathe, obviously, and listen to the second one. Don't fear anything, it will will not do any wild thing. Listen very carefully and breathe in and out. you're comfortable, please open your eyes. Could you describe the difference, not of the music, but the difference of feelings which you felt, if there was any such difference? Lakshmi Moni? Yeah. And then the second? Yeah. In the first musical example, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't focus on anything. Whereas the second was very easy to focus the mind. Mm-hmm. Yes, young Mataji. Yes, please. Maybe we should give you... please, before you speak, we give you a microphone. Then I don't have to repeat. I'm sorry, I didn't think of it when Lakshmi Moni's answer was there. Mm-hmm.
Very well. The first music just made me feel very much like wanting to do some activity, really active activity. Kind of made my head full of, complicated things, and actually my arms kind of feeling like wanting to do something. And then I kind of felt it up in my upper body, and then the second music was very calming, and I felt it sort of more in my center. Mm-hmm. Somehow, and it didn't make me want to do much.
Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Anyone else? Yes, our devotee from Malaga. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna. After having done the breathing exercise.
A little louder, please, Raman. Yes.
After having done the breathing exercise and relaxed my mind, and the moment I heard that music, it got me sort of irritated, like a feeling. It's just something terrible, like a violent feeling. And then the other music immediately like soothed my mind again, back to normal situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you very much. I think we all felt a little like the devotees have described. This music was in a certain influence. I can't diagnose. I think it was something like ignorance and passion. And the second was clearly sattvic. So anything which you contact in this world has these qualities within themselves. Food, for instance. There's sattvic food and rajasic food and so on. And Lord Krishna describes this in the Bhagavad Gita in great detail. I think you are aware of his descriptions, huh? Where these modes of nature hide. So if you want to transform your life, you should, be very, very careful to establish a mode of goodness around you. If you want to see, at this moment, your speaker is preaching to himself. If you would visit me in my in this wonderful room which the devotees have given me, you would see the 3 months of traveling all over the place. It's in disorder. It's there's no order. I can't find anything any longer. My desk looks like my mind. So too many things not ordered and so on. And I must say my whole being reacts very much to this. I can understand I must now stop my at some point this intense traveling and doing so many things, because the mode of passion takes over and disorientation, and I won't be as effective as I can. If you want to know something about the mode of goodness and how to apply it for your health life, you might make a study in the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and then the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. We personally think it is so important to educate people about these different modes that our own Gaura Shiromani is thinking, if he gets the time, to produce a book, a guidebook, how to develop the mode of goodness, and so on. You might use your time wisely to speak with Lila Dari, who has very good ideas about this also. So, yes, transformation is something which we can easily experience by this musical workshop. I'm sorry to almost throw this on you without much preparation, but I think you know, I want to show you that transformation is an important thing. I want to go now, make four more points, and then end with an interesting tool to develop the mode of goodness in your psychology in a very fast and very effective way, a tool which has been used and accredited by modern science or appreciated by it. Okay, but first I would like to give you four steps what to do when you are detached. When I said from lust to love, I did not only mean sexual lust, or maybe this is not so good to speak, sensual lust. I meant attachments per se, of which this one, the sensual attachment to the opposite gender, is obviously the strongest. When you are attached like this, there are four very powerful steps which I have isolated from Shastra and Prabhupada's writing, and which I have just put in an order which might help you. So those of you who take notes might like to take notes now, and those of you who listen carefully might listen carefully now. The first is the via negativa. It is something which you do with your knowledge. You remove the immediate impulse to enjoy or to become to live out your attachments by thinking about the consequences. See, most of material life most attachments work on the emotions. Oh, it would be so nice. When you at that time put in your intelligence and ask, would it really be so nice? Then you can wake up. I, for instance, do this always when I have a plate of ice cream before me, big bowl of ice cream, especially in Florida, where there's a very hot atmosphere, I noticed, hot summer, and pizza. These are two types of food which you can eat endlessly. You just can't. There is somehow, at least in my system, you can just go on and not stop. I think I could challenge anyone and defeat you in pizza and ice cream eating. Even stalwarts like Brahmananda Prabhu would not stand any chance, because I have seen this in my younger days. I don't do this any longer. And I have always noticed when you eat like this, you know already, the body really doesn't need it, and it's really not healthy. And if you then think for a moment, oh, this little guy, the tongue, is so deceiving. If I follow it, I will have an unhealthy life. So let me stop after three little pieces of pizza. This is sufficient. This is what you do when you think about them. Your emotions say positive, go for it, it's wonderful, but your intelligence has to work, see the result, go ahead of the emotions into the future, see the consequences, and inform that uneducated little guy, the emotion, you know, if when you do this, this will be your result, and you will suffer. You won't get out of bed. Your digestion will stop for 20 days, and so on and so forth. And by giving this information, it's called the via negativa, you can calm down the emotions, because even a dog doesn't want to suffer. So you have to use your intelligence, run ahead of your emotions to the consequence of your activity, and then go back and mildly inform your emotional side, your emotional intelligence. Listen, this will be the result. Now we have found this out for you. Be thankful. Do you want this? And then the emotional side can be calmed. This is a very, very, very established process which Narada Muni gives in the Mahabharata to Yudhishthira. It works. Please try it. There's a verse. O skull of the dead, some time ago you tempted me with rosy lips and promising smiles. German poetry. But now when I look at you, I can see you are not as tempting as you presented yourself to me. Something like this. It doesn't rhyme so nice in English. Go ahead. Don't be shy. Use that faculty which you have, the probing and analytical intelligence, to say goodbye to its little and very important brother, the emotional side in you. Let him run ahead and analyze what is in the future. This is a sattvic activity. And let him go back as a messenger preach nobly to that little child within you. The next thing, which is especially valuable in relationship to attachments to the opposite sex, we say, or do we say opposite gender also? Not so good. It doesn't matter. Thank you. It is to somehow develop a loving feeling. Lust is such a deceiver. It has nothing to do with it's the crippled son of love, really. Now, if you go back to lust and transform that, that is good. And you can do this by bringing somehow in your life some affection. This is called, that's why we say to the women, Mataji, the men, say Mataji, mother, which is a respectful address. Unfortunately, sometimes men have used this respectful address in such a way that it makes Matajis feel bad. It should feel make them feel well. There should be the sound of voice of respect in this address, which is there, and an affection which a son gives to his mother. When you are lusty, it means you don't love. You want to possess and not to give. There is a very nice process which you can apply. It's a cut-through process. Helps you to get some loving feelings in your heart. Would you like to do this process with me? No? I don't want to now that you yell. Would it be... I must convince you first. I see this in your eyes. The thing is, one has this institute which I'm referring to has made interesting experiments. They have found out by using the electrocardiogram that different emotions cause different heartbeats. Now the heartbeats again inform all the cells of our body in a certain way. When there is a certain heartbeat, health is very much there. Scientists have found out that 47% of the cancer-related diseases come because there's anger or some type of frustration in the hearts of men and women. Therefore, in cancer patients, there is a room in the hospital, at least in Germany, where some entertainment is there, where storytellers come and lighten up the spirit of the cancer patients and so on. Because one has understood that a feeling of joy is causing health and so on. Now, what they have done is... Oh, Krishna... To express it short, I've just made many notes about this. They have tested someone who was frustrated and they have put his heartbeat on the ECG. Then they have applied this method which I want to teach you, which exchanges the emotions, you know, with some other emotions which can come by a certain method. And they have seen how the readings changed. They went in a very orderly way. And it was very beneficial for them. So this technique is very, very nice. I have done it before on my own in Krishna consciousness from the Vedic philosophy. I had noticed that very often before giving lectures, I just come out of the car and I'm very nervous. And then I have read just my emails, and he said this, and so on. And I come to the desk, and then I have to talk about Krishna consciousness. I have noticed when I would not change my consciousness, if I wouldn't change my emotions, I would not be able to uplift my audience. Sometimes this was very trying because there were 10,000 people, and I had to give a lecture to them. And I knew, I wouldn't get through to them. I wouldn't elevate them. So I learned this simple technique on my own. Before going out before the curtain, I just went in a corner alone. I told the devotees, please, at this moment, no one can come to me. I put a servant or an assistant there who kept everything away from me. I just said, my dear Lord, please help me. I'm so restless. I'm so agitated. Oh, please help. And then I was thinking about Vrindavan, the Yamuna, or the Ganga, and purposefully went with all of my consciousness there and imagined I would sit there and I would go from there and think about the hall with the 10,000 people, and I would tell myself, you have now the opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and give them a spiritual taste, and now go out. And went up into the text and then went outside, greeted the people very naturally, sat down and said, so, I think we all came for the same reason. We want to make a spiritual experience, so let us start. It's very, very important because there is a rule of communication. That which is in your heart will go into the heart of the other person. I think Adishesh Prabhu knows this as an educator of his little daughter Mandali. When you are like this, then the child will respond differently than when you are with feelings. You can say the same words, but if you have a pleasant feeling inside, it will be different. So, let us make an experiment of this little technique and then we will end. Gaura Hari, please put the music. Please sit properly. Properly sounds so judgmental. How do we say it better? Alertly. Please sit alertly. Omila, can you supply the right word? Yeah. So, before you start closing the eyes, I want to ask you a question. Did you experience some disturbance over the stretch of the last 24 hours, maybe some unrest? You wanted to come at the right time to prasadam, but didn't work, something. I think in a devotional community, it's difficult, you know. Yes, some small disturbance, but I really, this was nothing. Usually when you are all here, so I will skip this step. But the first step is be aware, you know, when you feel agitated about any disturbing feelings you have. See if you can identify with those feelings. That we will not try here, because you all look blissful and tired. There is not much disturbance in your eyes. So, but now we will go. Please close your eyes again. Shift your attention, please, to the area around your heart, which should be the center of your chest. Placing your hand there can help you to focus. Now, please breathe in and out, and imagine you breathe in and out through your chest area. Now, please send sincere feelings of appreciation to someone or something which you can easily appreciate. It could be a nice devotee. It could be the beautiful deities Radha Gopinath or Srila Prabhupada, or friends, anything where you feel you have some appreciation, some affection. Please focus on them. The more you can feel the appreciation, the more the following technique will be effective. Please, now concentrate your breathing that it should go through your heart. The inside, the ingoing breath should go through your heart. And as you breathe out, imagine the energy leaves you through your solar plexus. That's somewhere above your stomach. Just breathe in through your heart, thinking of that feeling of appreciation, love, affection, gratitude, and breathe out, imagining that the air leaves you through the solar plexus. As you do this, most probably you will feel that the feeling of affection, that is a light, certain lightness, maybe in a prayer expression which has to do even with light, should increase from your heart area. Let that feeling grow through your whole chest and through your whole rest of your physical existence. Just breathe in and out. And when you feel comfortable, please open your eyes. It's magical, isn't it? Oh, let me, this is not how to say it. As a workshop leader, I have to not influence you. Did someone feel something, some lightness, some... Gadadha? Did you notice it's so extremely simple to change your consciousness? This is a basic element. I really have a lot on this, where you can work with this principle with many ways. And when we do tomorrow the exercise on forgiveness, and that will not be with breathing. I know some of you are not breathers, and visualization. It will be something totally different, and so on. So this works very nice. However, or in which way ever, when you see someone, instead of hating or an attachment, instead of hating the women, for instance, or the women think, oh, the men are impossible, they are so gross and so power hungry, it is really disgusting, and so on. If you feel like this, just go and find some affection, like this mother exercises there. The next step, which you feel can do, is the Atma meditation, where you think about that this person who is next, who is before me, is a spiritual soul. In rock and roll festivals, where we often went preaching, it sometimes happens that a naked woman sits before you asking spiritual advices. I've been in these situations. I hope I will not be lynched. Of course, you say, well, I would say the best thing for you is to eat now prasadam. I will get for you a plate. I'm a little busy at this moment. A Mataji will come and supply the prasadam for you. What is a Mataji? Oh, I'm sorry, I was a little bewildered. Woman, you know, like you and... So then you go. It's not necessary to be in these situations, but when you are, I have given a very extreme example. But when you are finding yourself in a situation where you feel some, this is not the place for a brahmachari or a brahmacharini or any person in Krishna consciousness. Then try to go first through the, it's a dangerous situation, this is the via negativa. Then you can go, oh, these are, you know, some affection, and then go to the Atma meditation. It's an eternal soul, Krishna's part and parcel. But ultimately, to transform anything, you must think about Lord Krishna. It says, not by wearing saffron, not by restricting eating and other sensual acts, not by living in the forest, not by discussing philosophy, and not by executing vows of silence, can one stop the attack of Kamadeva. Not by saffron, not by restricting eating and other sensual acts, not by living in the forest, can one stop the attack of Kamadeva. Only when one begins to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, who enjoys loving pastimes on the wide banks of the Yamuna, can Kamadev be stopped, even if one's contact with Govinda is slight. So think about Kamadev as Lord Krishna, the highest Kamadeva, and this will help ultimately. This is the four-step process I wanted to give you. I'm sorry that I went over time. Thank you very, very much. And please come tomorrow for the forgiveness seminar. Hare Krishna.